Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yo, it's 6 o'clock. Time for the morning mashup.
A recap of the biggest stories of the morning with John and Hugh.
Crazy, you know? On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Hey, baby. I'm tired of being alone here by myself now. You, baby.
Sometimes when you feel in a certain way, you just let the good Reverend Al speak for you. And now that Al is done speaking, let's go ahead and get this morning mashup going for Friday. All right, when you say Peyton Manning in Omaha and what does it mean, you might get 8 or 9 different explanations as to what Omaha means to Peyton Manning. Well, Peyton liked to pick other people's brains too. Ty Law talks about his strategy at the Pro Bowl and just how Peyton Manning was able to get information from other players.
Peyton would try to get you after you have these things with Peyton. And once you get over to the Pro Bowl, you're on the same team. Peyton try to get you drunk and then try to dig into your brain. What did you see? You know, what did you do this and that? But he try to, he's, you know, it's on me. Try to feed you all these, Mai Tais.
Hey, more Gronk. He's going to be at WrestleMania this coming weekend. And last night it was revealed he was the Tiger on The Masked Singer for this season. Go figure. After it was revealed Gronk was the Tiger, he and Jenny McCarthy had a very interesting exchange about Gronk's future.
One or two of my teammates, they contact me like, dude, that is definitely you. I know your moves. Like, dog, I've seen those moves in the locker room plenty of times. I'm like, what do you mean? They're new and improved.
We hope we see those moves back in the locker room soon.
Oh, you never know.
I have a question. Like, what about the butter clue that made me guess Fabio?
It was a pat of butter.
Yeah.
And the Patriots are known as the Pats.
Got it.
Now, are there any other clues they should have picked up on?
Yeah, it was the easiest one. There was a cow skiing. Gronkowski.
Oh, come on.
That was easy. A cow going skiing.
Ric Flair is happy that the WWE is doing all that they can to ensure the safety of their wrestlers and fans. And he's really excited about WrestleMania this weekend, mostly because you won't hear about that guy from New England to Tampa Bay anymore.
And the packages that Vince and Kevin Dunn will build, the creative team, I think that the two-day WrestleMania show, the two-day event will be phenomenal for fans. And I don't think that, obviously going to be some changes, but I know that it's going to be a great show. And, hey, listen, I'm tired of hearing about Tom Brady and that Buccaneers. I'm tired of hearing about Tua, okay? God, man, here, let's talk about something that's really taking place. And never underestimate the genius of Vince McMahon, nor the athleticism and the work ethic of these great kids in the WWE.
If you're ever on the street and you see David Blaine coming your way with the camera, run the other way because he's about to do something that you're not going to understand and you're going to freak out about. Here's David Blaine freaking out a couple of Lakers, LeBron and AD, with the card trick.
So there's clubs, spades, or diamonds. Name a suit to eliminate.
Clubs.
Clubs? Hearts, clubs. That leaves spades or diamonds. Which do you want? It's up to you.
What do I want to eliminate?
Which one? It's up to
spades.
You. You sure?
Yeah.
My hands are held. If I squeeze the deck, look, first I get rid of the clubs, then I get rid of the hearts, then I get rid of the spades.
What?
See, the whole deck disappears except for the diamonds, and of course the card that you signed.
You're holding his damn hands, bro.
Hey, you seen the deck get smaller and smaller, man.
How'd you get rid of cards?
The Athletic has a podcast, 755 is Real, with Dave O'Brien, and his guest recently was none other than Evan Gattis. Evan opened up about the Astros cheating scandal and said, well, it kind of sucks that we robbed the fans of a really good experience, and we take blame for that.
For some players that we face that I've never faced before and something like that,
mm-hmm.
Even selfishly, we didn't even get to find out how good certain people are. And they didn't either. And I think that was one cool thing about playing in the big leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Or making it, just to find out, everybody wants to be the best player in the world, man. But like, to find out how good you are, I think is valuable.
Right.
And we cheated that for sure.
And like always, we're going to close out with some funny. Here's Floyd Mayweather just not being quite able to say the word he wants to say here.
I made smart investments. That's why right now, with this huge huge that's going on, all this crazy stuff that's going on, my investments are still paying off.
You know the drill. Stay at home. Wash those hands. Flatten the curve.
Orin Romaine's now famous morning mashup here. What you didn't get, and this being, this being radio, is welcome back to the morning show on Sports Radio 910 The Game with John and Hugh from the Mobile Kia Studios. Is Hugh that the picture of Floyd Mayweather at the end where he says, I made some good investments, and he holds up, I don't know, 150, 200 grand? I have no idea.
He held up a stack of cash, but it didn't stop the fact that he could say, what was he trying to say, pandemic? Was it pandemic or epidemic? Which one was it? He was trying to say one of them, and he couldn't say it. It was just, listen, I give him the benefit of the doubt. He probably had, he probably was thinking about something else. I mean, it happens. But boy, when you talk about the run that he's had when they come to certain things that people say that he can't do, it was pretty funny. It was pretty funny
with
to see him. the stutter. I do that. Sometimes I want to say one thing because I'm speaking to stream of conscience, and I switch it immediately and want to say something else. I get that, but that one right there was funny. That was funny.
Yeah, it was, Floyd is a character, that's for sure. And momentarily, when I saw that video, Hugh, I thought, I'm thinking of, quarantine sports that people can bet on because, the dude that's doing the push-ups and everything. And I thought, a fight. I mean, you don't really need an audience. I mean, it helps, but you could hold a fight. And, boy, it would get gigantic, video. If you did it on TV, it would get gigantic audience. It only requires, a handful of people, less than 10, to gather for some kind of a, and then I thought, wait a second now, maybe people would have a hard time with the concept of, in the social distancing of two guys beating the hell out of each other, and hugging on each other. I went, yeah, okay, maybe not.
Yeah, that was probably a bad idea, but that's cool. Hey, you're thinking outside the box, though. I mean, good thought, but yeah, not right now.
Right, yeah. not right now. How about El Oso Blanco coming out? Now, obviously, Evan Gattis is somebody that we like around here, Hugh. I mean, he became an overnight sensation with the Braves, and so we're still fond of him. But he goes to the Houston Astros. Then he calls his team out. I mean, calls them out about what they did. Of course, it also lends to that "where were you when it was going on" thing. But
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Does it really like? My thing is this: like, it's one thing to be contrite after the fact, but does it really count? I mean, because you still benefited from being on the squad. I mean, let's be real. You can sit there and say it was wrong all you want, but it was wrong when you were there doing it. And all of a sudden, you have a change of heart. I don't think that counts. In my eyes, that does not count. But to some, yeah, it probably does. But to me, it doesn't.
And they're talking that, tonight would have been opening night for the Braves in the Final Four here in town. But tonight, what else tonight would have been? Would have been the Astros' first road game. And of all places, in Southern California where they were going to play the Angels in Orange County. And for those of you who don't know kind of the lay of the land, Angel Stadium in Orange County in Disneyland is, you know, it's suburban L.A., you know, as the crow flies from Dodger Stadium, maybe 25 miles, maybe. And so, you know, you're looking at, I guess, the distance between, say, you know, downtown Atlanta and, I don't know, what's 25 miles, you know, north up 85 Suwannee, you know, I mean, about, you know, or something like that. And, you know, something like, you know, Flowery Branch to downtown Atlanta, something like that. And so it would have been full of Dodger fans. Full.
You know what's funny? I just thought about this, John, and you know, I'm not making light of this situation, but the Houston Astros are probably happy that the coronavirus happened the way that it did so they could get people talking about something else besides them.
That is a benefit, yes. Did you see the story yesterday? Now, we're going to have baseball this year, but there was a story yesterday that said if, in fact, the season were to be canceled entirely, okay, A.J. Hinch, the manager who got suspended and should have been kicked out of baseball, in my opinion, the general manager, Jeff Luhnow, who got suspended and should have been kicked out of baseball permanently, in my opinion, but if the season doesn't happen, A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow can apply for reinstatement next year and possibly be reinstated, Hugh, and never miss a game.
Now, that's pretty interesting. If that was to happen, that would be pretty interesting.
Yeah. One other thing, I did like the Peyton Manning thing that he did. Talk about gamesmanship. Let's dig out a little true serve, huh?
I do remember something vaguely about Peyton doing that. Peyton liked to talk, and Peyton liked to, you know, when you're at the Pro Bowl, Peyton likes to, you know, hang out. So Ty Law isn't lying. He isn't lying because Peyton used to like to hang out and talk. Like, he was a very friendly guy. Like, one of the coolest quarterbacks that I've ever been around in that sense. So, yeah, I can see that. I definitely see what he's talking about when he says that.
Yeah,
Peyton trying to get information. Peyton's still in game mode, even at the Pro Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one thing that people don't know, in my experience covering Peyton was not actually as a pro. It was only as a high school guy into his first 2 or 3 years at Tennessee when I was up in Chattanooga working and I was covering the Vols in the early 90s, 94, 95 era. Peyton's freshman year, sophomore year, junior year. So I interview Peyton quite a bit. And one thing that is, and you're right, one thing that is true that people don't realize about Peyton Manning, maybe they think about it or it would make sense, is he is a talker. He's not a wallflower. He loves to chat.
Yeah, yeah. And he's, you know, he, like, as far as quarterbacks go, not a bad guy.
No, he is a good dude. Yeah, you know, the whole Truth Serum thing. I never thought about using Truth Serum to try to get, like, corporate insider information. I mean, when you're using, the alcohol, it was always for dating purposes. You know what I mean?
Not all the time. I mean, you know, you have events where people go, and that's what they like to do. They like to talk and gossip and get drinks in folks and ask a whole lot of questions. That's what some people like to do.
Yeah, and he's drinking. He's probably one of those people that likes to drink air quotes vodka, you know, in a glass. You know, turns out that vodka is made out of good old fashioned spring water. Morning Menu's next. Three questions from Abe, the producer. He asks us, we ask you. We put it up online. Always fun to chat with you on our Twitter at 929 The Game about the questions that Abe comes up with. We don't know what they are, which is always what makes it interesting. We'll do that next on the morning show on this Friday. From the Mobile Kia Studios, you can stream us 24/7, 365. The app is free. Get radio.com and then just search for 929 The Game on radio.com.
Heads up, there's a three-course meal headed your way. This is the Morning Menu on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Morning Menu, Abe the producer. Three questions from us to you. Never know what they are. Always interesting, always fun. How much time, Abe, do you spend? Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Do you spend on the questions? Is it a daily thing? Do you have a big long list and you just pick from them? How do you do it?
No, I don't have a list, which is a problem sometimes, especially because, and we'll get to this with question number three, but working from home, what my routine was to, and I would consult with Oren almost every day. We were in studio about, hey, what are you thinking? Here's what I got. How do we word this? And I would come up with them, in advance, but only by a day or so. I mean, sometimes that morning we would switch them out depending on what happened, you know, the night before, stuff like that. But, it's been a struggle to write these all from home, mainly because sometimes I forget to write them. And then, like, I finish the rundown, send to you guys, and I'm like, oh, We're doing morning menu in an hour, and I don't have a single question. And that never happened when we were in studio. Never happened. But now I take notes while I'm out with the dog. I try and think of them and jot them down. So yesterday I was taking a walk with the dog about 6 o'clock, and I came up with all three of them. So we're all set.
Good job.
Okay, question number one here, and I know we talked about this a little bit yesterday, or you guys did, in regards to some of the mock drafts. And one of the mock drafts had the Falcons taking, I don't remember which running back, but a running back relatively early on.
Jonathan Taylor.
Questions about Jonathan Taylor, that's right. And questions about Todd Gurley, and do we really need a running back now that we got Gurley? And so the question I have for you guys, is Todd Gurley going to lead the Falcons in carries this season?
I would say he's the bigger back. I would say no. And it, don't ask me who do I think is going to lead the Falcons in carries, but I'm going to say no. And I'm a little hesitant about saying no. I'm not going to lie, because, you know, you're talking about a guy back there that's probably the most expensive back that you're going to have, and you know, that sounds ridiculous. But I'm going to go ahead and say no. I'm going to still stick with that.
Let's go back to this. They wouldn't carry four running backs, right? I mean, they'll carry three, correct, you think?
John, this is the unknown in all of this.
Right.
Todd Gurley has still not been looked at by Falcons doctors, as far as I know. That could be a problem. You know,
that
especially
could be a problem.
Especially, like, we're committed to Todd Gurley. I'm not saying he's not going to be here, but don't know what that need looks like. You know, the Falcons doctors don't know what that need looks like. So that could be potentially a problem. So I'm going to still stick with, no, he's not going to be the main guy. He's not going to be the main guy, but he's going to be a big part of it. He's probably going to be in the role that Quadri Olafson was in last year. You know what I mean? You know, you give him the carries, touchdowns, and things of that nature. I'm gonna still say that, even though I'm starting to think a little differently, I'm gonna still stick with that one.
Yeah, let's put it this way: if Hugh's right, Abe, I think that's a problem, because otherwise, Todd Gurley should get 75 to 80% of the carries if he's healthy, and that's the problem. I mean, he becomes your number one back, and you know, Ito's a change of pace back, or I don't know how many backs he carry. You would think that, you know, Olesen would be there, but it's a question of his
I'll
health.
Tell you what I'm thinking, because I'm kind of splitting the difference between where you're headed. First off, John, I don't think he can get 75 to 80% of the carries and stay healthy. I think that's part of this question, is that you have to limit and manage the carries. And with that said, I agree with you, and I'm hesitant. I'm agreeing with you because I'm hesitant to say that he would lead the team in carries. I would not be surprised. He's your number one running back. You're right about that, John. Wouldn't be surprised if he starts the game there and gets some carries early, and then, as Hugh mentioned, the goal line carries. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if it's Brian Hill who leads the team in carries. I would go Ito Smith as a third down back, and as you mentioned, if Quadri Olafson is active, maybe a goal line carry or two. But I wouldn't be surprised if we only see 15, 20 touches from Gurley a game, and pretty close to that number from Brian Hill as well, and maybe Gurley has to sit out a game while the knee recovers a little bit more. But I think he's your number one back. I don't know if he's going to lead the team in carries. That's where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we got to think that we're expecting, like, it might not even be what we're expecting. Like, we're talking like this team is all of a sudden going to become a run heavy team. You know, they did go out and get Hayden Hurst and Laquan Treadwell. And they have Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. So, you know, it's safe to say that they're still going to throw the football. So it just all depends. This is not going to be – I don't think this is going to be a run-heavy team all of a sudden.
No. That's why I
listed this question as carries instead of touches. Because to that point, I think Gurley will get a very high number of catches, more than Brian Hill and Ito Smith. Carries, I'm not sure about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. When you put it that way, I just didn't think there would be, you know, if they run the ball 25 times in a game, it might be a lot.
Yeah, I mean they got it. They probably got to run it. Probably got to run a little bit more than that, because this team,
they have to go 40 carries a game if they're going to be at that number.
Yeah, because you know this team is. We know they're going to throw the ball. We know the Falcons can throw the ball. They couldn't run the ball last year. You know what I mean? So yeah, there's that.
All right, question number two. You know, as we get closer to the draft, more and more is circulating about Miami. They have three first-round picks including the fifth overall. And there are very serious questions about who they want. And it came out yesterday, there were some reports that they are working to trade up from five, possibly to number one. And that they, as much as there's been talks about Miami and Tua, it came out yesterday from a number of different people that they might be more interested in acquiring Joe Burrow. So the question I have for you, if the Dolphins want Joe Burrow, what would it take for them to trade up from number five to number one overall, and should the Cincinnati Bengals consider it?
They moved on from the Red Rifle. I don't really think, and we don't know, like Tua says he's healthy, but we don't know that for sure. That's a hell of a consideration. You know, I'm pretty sure Joe Burrow is probably excited about the fact that, you know, that story is out there. But I don't think – I don't think so. Because you kind of at this point, you've kind of pushed all your chips into the middle of the table. You've committed to Joe Burrow in a sense. No, I don't think they should.
Yeah, as to what it would take, I don't think there's a figure here. I mean, you could say Miami's got three first-round picks. I'm trying to think of where their other two first-round picks are. But let's say they give them number three, and I don't know what the other one is, number 20 or something like that. You know, would that be enough to move up two spots? Yes, in a different world, but I got to tell you, Abe, Cincinnati trades this for anything. I mean, they could trade it for the number three, the number 20, whatever, and next year's number one and the year after number one, and there'd be a riot in Cincinnati. It's not like Joe Burrow isn't just the quarterback of the future for the Cincinnati Bengals. He's a local guy. I mean,
yeah,
so
yeah.
Yeah, I think this would be a team and public relations disaster.
Mutiny.
For the Cincinnati Bengals. I don't think there's a price that the Dolphins could pay that should or would get Cincinnati off that pick.
Miami picks 5, 18, and 26. If I were Cincinnati and I considered this, I'm taking them all. I still think you can get a quarterback at 5 if you want. You could still get a quarterback at 18. If I were going to consider it, I would ask all three. And you're in the position of power. Miami is not in this instance. But I agree with what you guys have said. I think they are tied to Joe Burrow. I think if you select Joe Burrow and he fails, you're not going to get looked back on. It was an obvious pick. I think we all agree on that. Mm-hmm. If you trade out of this and you draft Tua or Justin Herbert or Jordan Love, whoever it may be, and they fail, and Joe Burrow goes on to win one or two Super Bowls with the Dolphins, you're never going to live that down. And that's a career ender for a GM, you know, in some instances. So, yeah. It is.
No, so you're not lying. You're not lying.
I think you're tied to it. You're tied to Burrow. I don't think you can make that trade. But if I were going to, you got to get all three first round picks. Final question, and this is where the morning menu, my process comes into play. Give me one good thing and one bad thing that has changed for you guys now that you're doing work from home.
One good thing is that for me, I'm never late to work. One bad thing.
Well, you were not late before. Let's be honest. I wasn't late before, but
there's never an issue with potentially being late for work. Let's say that potentially being late.
I did send us a couple coming in hot texts.
Yeah, I did send a couple of those. And I would say the negative about being here is I've let my hair grow, and it's depressing because it does not grow in the back like
you
thought
it
did.
You tried to let it grow.
Yeah. Basically, it's like I have a natural shag. I don't even have to go to the barber to get this natural shag going. It's just there.
Yeah, I guess the positive is I don't have that long commute in the morning. Even without traffic, it's still 45, 50 minutes. So, I don't miss the – I guess the downside is I don't have the long commute, and I kind of miss it. So I'll go with both. How about you, Abe?
The good side, I get to be home with my dog the whole 5 hours of the show. And the bad thing is I'm eating more meals than I would have because I don't have that much time to eat while at work. I have too much time to eat while at home.
Uh-oh.
That quarantine 15 is coming.
Uh-oh.
Coming up next, we're going to talk about the best musical acts that are from Atlanta and the Atlanta area. We'll explain as we continue with John and Hugh on the Morning Show on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and radio.com. Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. A little fun with brackets today, and today's topic is going to be the musicians, best musicians with ties to Atlanta and the Atlanta metro area. Now, I got to have my guys back here in this because there are two things about this, Hugh. Number one, this is the non-hip-hop version. Before anybody goes crazy and goes, hey, where are so-and-so-and-so-and-so-and-so-and-so?
Yeah, because I was thinking that. I was like, oh, Outkast in two brackets in a week. Right. That's
and,
what I was thinking.
And Migos and T.I. and everything. No, no. Yeah. This is the non-hip-hop version, okay?
Okay.
And the second part of this is, this just, to me, when he sent out the 16, I realized how hard it was for Abe to come up with this. As a matter of fact, we talked about it a little bit before the show. There are so many great acts. This just points out how many great acts, because I could come up with a list right off just off the top of my head. I'm rattling off 8 or 10 extremely well-known big acts in rock and country and pop and whatnot that are not on here. And it just shows how hard this is, because there are so many. You had to come down with 16, Hugh, and you could come up with, you know, the top 50 or 100 that are great, you know?
No, I agree. I agree. I'm with you on that.
So I don't
I'm just
want
excited
to
hear it because I'm
feelings.
Like, I like for me, it lists like this, I don't want to see it. I want to be surprised by what I'm about to witness. So, yeah, so just go ahead and get to it, John, because I want to hear some of these.
Abe, you ready? Tanitra, you ready?
Yes, sir. Morning.
Okay, there we go. First bracket. Again, this is bands in Atlanta and area music, non-hip-hop version. Hugh, Collective Soul against TLC.
TLC.
Abe, Collective Soul against TLC.
You know, Collective Soul always holds a special place in my heart. The first ever live music I went to was Music Midtown, and Collective Soul was headlining one of the stages. So they do hold a special place in my heart. But let's get serious. TLC is legendary. And I agree with you. It's got to be TLC here.
Yeah, because Lisa Lopes and all those guys. I got to say that as much Tanitra as I like, you know, Shine and some of the other songs that Collective Soul did, you know, December and stuff that I can remember, they're not TLC.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, they're very, very talented. I love just the eclectic nature of what they did. But, yeah, TLC just – I mean, they completely changed the game, and many of the girl groups that came after them, including Destiny's Child, will tell you that they were the blueprint of transitioning from a Supreme type of trio or girl group to what we have now.
Hugh, Indigo Girls against the Zac Brown Band.
The Indigo Girls.
Abe, Indigo Girls against the Zac Brown Band.
I understand Indigo Girls, but for me, it's Zac Brown Band. Oren closed out last segment playing Chicken Fried. It's one of my favorite songs. It's one of my go-tos at karaoke. I'm going Zac Brown Band.
You know, I have to, you know, take my... And, you know, it's such a big part of the Hawks. So, and us being the Hawks station, I have to take that out of it because I just have to look at it from a group standpoint. Tanitra, how do you vote Indigo Girls against Zac Brown?
Oh, Zac Brown. The discography is just deep, 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 deep. So, yeah, definitely.
And the roots are strong, too. I'll go with Zac Brown. All right, so that's half the bracket at the top. Now we get to the semifinals. TLC against the Zac Brown Band. By the way, Hugh, I don't know if you ever went over to the Zac Brown's place there if you've had a chance yet at State Farm, but it's pretty good.
No, I haven't. I haven't had a chance to.
TLC against Zac Brown Band.
TLC.
And Abe?
Yeah, it's disappointing that Zac Brown's probably getting bounced at this stage, but I agree with you. I think it is TLC here.
And Tanitra, TLC and the Zac Brown Band.
Yeah, I ditto what Abe said to the T.
Yeah, TLC makes the finals here as we are talking. Again, we're talking about the best bands in Atlanta that aren't hip-hop. Before anybody goes, hey, how you had to pick these because of all the bands that come out of the Atlanta and Athens and you know, a lot of bands. And there were a lot of acts that I think are interesting to me in the kind of the panoply. Like, for example, Mother's Finest isn't on the list anywhere here, which is just a personal favorite of mine. But a lot that are from the South Metro. I mean, the South Metro area produced so many great bands. All right, we move to the other bracket here, and this is the other bracket. Is a sort of a hodgepodge, if you will. Hugh, I think I know who's going to win this, but nonetheless, we have to vote nonetheless. Keith Sweat against India.Ari.
India.Ari's from Atlanta? I did not know that. Oh, wow. Oh, man. Keith Sweat has been instrumental in the conception of a lot of children, so I'm going to have to go Keith Sweat.
Oh, God.
I mean, where's the lie? Where's the lie?
No, it's not a lie. It was just funny. Abe, how do you vote India?
I don't know how to combat that point, I guess, but I'm gonna go India.Ari, so we don't need you talking about Keith Sweat anymore. Let's try that.
India.Ari or Keith Sweat. How do you vote, Denira?
But just for clarification, neither one is from Atlanta. Keith Sweat, because he's older, has been here longer, but he's from New York City, former stockbroker turned.
Okay, yeah, I remember. India.Ari. Okay. Thank you, Tanitra.
She moved here. Yes, sir. But she moved here very, very early in her career. And just a sidebar, too, you know what other genre is huge here? And we had one of the leaders in that area about a month back. That's gospel inspirational, Lecrae. And there are so many artists, who are either born and raised here or have their ties here and their careers blew up here. So shout out to him and sort of that community. But if you look at the deep discography, got to go with Keith Sweat.
He does. He does have a pretty good discography. I want to make sure that Oren gets into this, so I'll go with India just to have him break a tie. And I want to, because the next one, Oren's not going to, because his next one's going to be 4-0 here. Oren, what do you say in India.Ari against Keith Sweat? and no offense to Keith, he ain't going to make the finals. All right, so the next one here is about as easy as it gets. No offense to Brenda Lee coming on strong. That's a line from a song called Radar Love by Golden Earring. But Brenda Lee against Gladys Knight. Hugh, how do you vote?
Leaving on that midnight train to Georgia, going back to find.
Anybody going to vote for Brenda Lee? Abe, you going to vote for Brenda Lee?
Brenda Lee's mother wouldn't vote for Brenda Lee in this discussion.
Gladys is still the best.
Brenda Lee is not coming on strong. No offense there, Golden Earring. Keith Sweat against Gladys Knight. Is anybody now? Hugh, maybe you're going to go to the deep discography or the deep family tree here of Keith Sweat. But really,
hey, listen, Gladys Knight has been instrumental in the conception of a lot of children as well. So, man, I'm telling you, the chicken and waffles be hitting where they used to hit. But yeah, I'm gonna have to go Gladys Knight on this one.
Wait, Hugh, was it her brother that got her in trouble? Was that
yeah,
it
her brother? Yeah, 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 yeah.
Well, really, it's her son who deaded
that. Oh, okay.
That's who it was? Okay.
Yeah, okay. I knew it was somebody that, yeah, all right. Abe, you're not going to go against this, right?
No, I mean, if it was close, I think Hugh pointed out the most important discussion between the two is Gladys Knight's chicken and waffles, that sweet potato cheesecake. That puts it over the top for me, for sure.
By the way, the poor Pips get no love. I mean, because it just says Gladys Knight. The poor Pips. Hugh, TLC versus Gladys Knight.
I know they will. Leaving on that midnight train to Georgia. Woo! Hey.
Finals of this side of the bracket, TLC versus Gladys Knight.
I mean, look, this is semi-unfair because it's everyone's personal opinion. There's no fact-based here. I grew up with TLC. That was my era. And they defined, as Sinitra said at the start, I mean, a lot of the other groups to come after them, specifically Destiny's Child, was because of what TLC was able to accomplish. I'm going to go TLC here.
And Tanitra?
Well, I saw her in concert. She's one of the few people who can stand in the old Houston Texan Stadium in the middle of a football field among 70,000 people and blow the place out. And she is my mother's all-time favorite, so gotta go Gladys Knight.
And this is one of those funny things about, you know, Atlanta area stuff. When I think of Atlanta music, if somebody were to say to me, name, you know, five people that you associate with Atlanta music, you know, I mean, non-hip-hop, if Gladys Knight isn't number one, she's not outside the top three. I mean,
yeah, agreed.
Love overboard.
And we'll do the other half of the bracket here with a lot of big names on it, too. A lot of big names. Matter of fact, all eight are big names. At 9:40 this morning, the crown of champion. But Gladys Knight's going to go up against somebody in the finals of, again, the non-hip-hop version of our bracket this morning of the best Atlanta area music person. All right, Dante Fowler is an Atlanta Falcon, as you know. That's one thing. But what he told Andy and Randy, oh, that's entirely another. Did you hear what he said to Andy and Randy? We have it. We'll play it for you next. Morning show on this Friday with John and you. Across the metro on 92.9 The Game and across the world on radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.